Hello and welcome to News 24 on air, our live audio service. I'm Mihlali Ntsabo. The South African Revenue Service has opened a criminal case against Phalaphala Buffalo buyer Hazim Mustafa, who President Cyril Ramaphosa told various investigators handed $580,000 in cash to his farm manager in December 2019. According to Ramaphosa, it was Mustafa's money paid to secure 20 buffalo that was stolen from his farm near Bela Bela in Limpopo in February 2020. The theft paved the way for a major scandal that, since emerging in June 2022, has dominated headlines and led to the president almost resigning from office. For more details on the story, we speak to Kyle Cowan in studio, senior investigative reporter at News 24. Kyle, thank you for joining us. So, April last year, SARS lodges a criminal case against at the Brooklyn Police Station in Pretoria, but kept it under wraps. Which, of course, then people, the question is why, considering the fact that most of the information around Phalaphala has been public.
Yeah, so SARS generally never speaks about investigations. It does not reveal taxpayer information.
Right.
There has to be very exceptional circumstances before SARS will even, in court papers, put any information forward about a taxpayer or anything like that.
Right.
This is basically just a contract that SARS has with you as the taxpayer. Mm. It'll keep your information private. It won't share it with the public. It definitely won't share it with the media. Mm-hmm. And reporting the case to the police removes it sort of from the exclusive SARS preserve.
Right.
Why none of the individuals who appeared before Parliament, being the police commissioner or the head of the Hawks, General LeBeyer, why they've never spoken about this case, knowing about it since April last year, that, of course, remains a mystery.
Yeah. So the case has now been transferred to the Hawks. Mm. Do we at this stage know how far they are with the investigations?
No, we do not. Mm-hmm. The Hawks have been treating the investigation around Phalaphala issues very, very carefully. They haven't been speaking about it very publicly. They have given updates to Parliament and so on, and we know that some of the alleged burglars have been arrested. Mm. But in terms of the sort of behind the scenes and the machinations behind how the case is going and who's talking to whom, none of that has really come out in the public domain. And I think we all understand that because it involves the president so closely,
right,
there's a lot of effort being put into making sure that none of that information becomes public.
So, of course, this case is in relation to Mustafa's alleged fake dollar declaration at Oratambo. Perhaps maybe take us through, I mean, we do know that it's actually unlawful for you not to declare foreign currency when you're coming to the country. But what penalties can one face should they be found guilty of that?
Well, look, it depends, obviously, on the amount and the circumstances. If it's drug money, then, you know, the authorities will go after it, I think, a bit harder if it's, right, you know, some illicit something. But if it's a failure by an individual businessman to bring money into the country, I suppose what we'll see happen is there will be a discussion between lawyers and the police and or the South African Reserve Bank. Mm. And, I mean, if you go online right now, you'll find that, penalties could be a fine. It could be up to 5 years imprisonment. Mm-hmm. But I think generally it will probably be treated like an administrative fine. Hey, you didn't declare this thing. Mm-hmm. That's what makes SARS reporting this matter to the police so much more interesting, mm-hmm, because now we understand that it's moved beyond a simple, they believe that he simply just maybe didn't understand the processes or didn't do something properly. SARS went to the police and said, there's a reason for you to investigate these documents that were handed over. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen the documents because obviously Mr. Mustafa doesn't want to hand them over to us, mm-hmm, but we now know that the police were asked to investigate something linked to those documents.
Right.
SARS believes there's something wrong with those documents.
Right.
So it's going to be quite interesting, I think, to when we finally get our hands on them, to say, okay, this is exactly what the documents actually say. Mm-hmm.
And before we actually get into the suspects and those implicated in this whole saga, do you think that this story perhaps speaks to an issue of poor transparency from our leadership, or maybe perhaps the need for our president to either, you know, tighten security?
Yeah, it's an interesting point. You know, on security, we know that the president did not have police members guarding his farm prior to the burglary.
Right.
He has said in numerous investigations and publicly he wanted to try and save the taxpayer some money. He didn't feel that it was important enough to have someone there. He has staff on the farm permanently. The break-in obviously changed that dynamic and the thinking around that. The lack of transparency, I think, is self-evident. No one wants to talk about this thing that implicates the president in potential wrongdoing, even though everyone says he's done nothing wrong legally and so on. There's a moral sort of question that still remains around why do you have so much money on your farm? And in a style in keeping with how the president's term in office has been, his closest aides and his spokespeople and his advisors have been sort of caught flat-footed. They haven't really responded very well, and they've left a lot of gaps in information that have allowed massive speculation to carry on around this.
Right.
And this is not something that the president is just simply going to walk away from. It's going to continue to be an issue politically in the media and in the court of public opinion. People want to know where that money came from.
Yeah. And just the point on of the president, I guess the census, quote unquote census, around the president not doing something legally wrong. I mean, last year SARS had released a statement saying that the president was tax compliant. But I guess, no, there's still a question as to whether or not him and his farm didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah. So there have been several investigations that have cleared the president.
Right.
We've had the South African Reserve Bank looking into exchange control violations.
Yeah, the PP.
Yeah. We've had the public protector looking into a very narrow thing around whether the president violated the Executive Members Ethics Act.
Right.
Then we've had SARS obviously looking into not only the president, but also his company, Taba Nyoni Estates Closed Corporation, which is the legal sort of entity behind Pala Pala Farms. And we've had a parliamentary Section 89 panel headed by retired Justice Sandile Ngobo to look at the evidence in front of it. Does the president have a case to answer potentially around impeachment? And the panel found that there was a case to answer.
Yeah.
But we have to take a step back from that. On the SARS investigation, we don't know if there are other SARS investigations ongoing. The fact that they've reported a matter to the police suggests they are. But that was a very narrow thing. They looked at the tax affairs based on the information that had been submitted to SARS and the financial information that they can pick up from their side. And they said the president and his company are tax compliant. It's not an exoneration over a specific transaction.
100%.
It just says his tax affairs are in order. The next one was the Reserve Bank. They found that the obligation never rested on the president's company, of which he is the sole shareholder.
Yeah.
But he is not involved in the day-to-day running of this. So the obligation never existed on them to declare the money or to bank it because the transaction had not been completed. So these are highly technical things. And the public protector, the investigation around the Executive Members Ethics Act. So all that the act says the president has to do is to declare his business interests, if any, to the cabinet secretary. And he has done that. He doesn't have to declare. There's nothing the law says he has to declare every single transaction. So it's quite frustrating, especially for the public looking from the outside in. They would think, oh, the public protector is going to do this massive investigation at the Reserve Bank. But they don't. They do very narrow things that are within their mandate. So the most important investigation has always been the Hawks and what they're looking into, where that case is going to go.
And just on the different inquiries that you mentioned, let's look at specifically the Ngobo panel report, which came to a different conclusion compared to the other ones, right? And that was basically questioning the amount that was stolen from Pala Pala. And in fact, if, you know, there was even any transparency and honesty in the actual full amount. I mean, I think it's just to find out, do we really know for certain how much was taken from the president's farm? Or in fact, how much was declared, was actually
we don't
on
know.
His property?
That's the straightforward answer, is we simply don't know. We have the president's version of events,
right,
backed up by several people in and around him, including Mr. Mustafa, saying it was 580,000. But, you know, allow me to venture into the realm of speculation a little bit myself.
Sure.
If you think about this logically, Mr. Mustafa claims in statements that he's made to the various investigations that have been ongoing, he arrived in the country on the 23rd of December 2019. He claims he declared the money. There's now obvious dispute over whether that declaration is proper or not. He then goes to Sun City. Mm-hmm. It's his wife's birthday. He says in the one affidavit that, or the one statement rather, that someone at a party at Sun City told him about this, and then he took a limousine to Palapala, which is about 2 hours away from Sun City. The roads around Palapala are gravel roads. Mm-hmm. No limousine's legitimately going to travel on those roads.
Yeah.
Put that aside. He then takes every last note of cash that he has in his possession and hands it over to Mr. Sylvester Ndlovu, the farm manager, who just happened to be at work on Christmas Day. And I understand farms operate differently.
Yeah.
But the chances of Mr. Ndlovu just happening to be around when this man just arrives.
Unplanned.
You know, and these are the sort of problems that the president is facing when he puts this version forward.
Yeah.
We're not the only people questioning this. Yes. Every member of the public who has a passing interest in the story is saying, golly, this doesn't sound very believable.
Yeah.
And then there's the other problem, and the biggest problem. The money stayed on the farm for 45 days before the burglary.
Mm.
Then the cattle or the buffalo that were bought, it was supposedly 20, 15 male, female and 5 male buffalo. They are still on the farm.
Mm.
They've never left Palapala. And the president has said, oh, it was because of COVID-19 lockdowns and Mr. Mustafa never got back to us and so on and so forth. So there's this distinct sort of aura of irresponsibility around this whole thing.
Yes, yes.
As the president, you have to understand. Let's take his version as the truth because it's the only version we have in front of us. When he arrived on the farm on the 26th of December, the day after the money, he should have immediately acted and said, listen, return this money to this man.
Yes.
Or take it to the bank immediately.
Mm.
Or, I mean, yes, there are public holidays over the Christmas period, but you cannot tell me that all the banks are closed all the time.
Mm.
And this is the problem where things start to become very, very murky because the president maintains he has told the truth and he's putting the issue behind him, but the public is not ready to move on
yet. Yeah, yeah. So essentially what I'm getting from what you're saying, that this was just all a coincidence. Where, you know, Mustafa just got into the country with so much money, heard about the buffalo and the president's farm, and decided to just venture off there.
Yeah, and added to the fact that he claims, Mr. Mustafa claimed that he didn't even know it was the president's farm.
Interesting.
And so this sort of, and then every single dollar that you have in your possession, bearing in mind you're on holiday with your wife.
Yeah.
You hand over for these buffalo that you don't own a farm. You have no way to take them. So you don't want to sound dismissive or cynical about these things, but it just, the story in the larger sense doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the discrepancies around the expenditure.
Yeah.
So News24's investigation team, we've obviously been following the story very closely since, you know, the former director general of the State Security Agency, Mr. Arthur Fraser, walked into Rosebank Police Station in June of 2022.
Yeah.
And what we've figured out over that time is we've gone back and traced the steps of the burglary suspects that he named.
Mm-hmm.
And we found that, so if $580,000 was taken, dollars, that at the time that equated to about 8.3 million rand, just one of the burglars, an individual who's now been arrested, Mr. Emanuela David, spent at least 9 to 10 million rand on cars alone in the sort of weeks and months after the burglary.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to say he didn't have an alternate source of income or he wasn't involved in other things. But if you look at his history and what we've reported, you know, for example, Mr. David took a job at a security company in KwaZulu-Natal, but he didn't even have enough money prior to the burglary to get to the job. He had to ask for a bus ticket from his new employer to get down there.
Mm.
So these are the kind of things. You understand that the lifestyle changed drastically for one person.
Mm.
Now, there are other people who were involved who got a share of the money.
Mm.
One of them bought a 1.8 million rand flat. And one, you know, 8.3 million rand sounds like a lot of money, but when you're buying Porsches and G-Wagons and 2 million rand flats in Blobergstrand in Cape Town, 8 million rand doesn't really take you that far.
Yeah.
And that adds fuel to the speculation that a lot more money was spent than what we know supposedly what was at the farm. And then you start to understand that maybe a lot more money was there.
Mm.
But until the president actually tells us the entire truth, which I think he cannot do because politically it would be ruinous, then, you know, we're sort of left in this sort of in-between space where journalists are trying to figure it out. We're spending a lot of time and effort into investigating this. The police are investigating. And it doesn't really look like it's ever going to reach some sort of a conclusion.
And just on the suspects and those implicated, so we know that obviously 3 arrests have been made, right? So it's a former cleaner and her brother, and another suspect, of course, Emanuela David, who, in a recording in position with law authorities, is heard having a conversation with other unnamed suspects, right? Mm. Discussing an amount of 11 million rand that they took. Mm. But, you know, one can't help but wonder, do you think we'll actually see high-profile arrests in this case?
If the law follows its course, I think we're supposed to. Not necessarily the president himself,
right?
But others. The problem that we have is that there's no evidence of corruption here. There are questions around the money.
Yeah.
But we have to always remember that ostensibly this is not public money. So this is not money that was backhanded through some tender from South African government or whatever.
Yeah.
We know that just by the very fact that it was dollars in cash means that it comes from outside of the country.
Yeah.
We're not exactly 100% sure where. Mm. So there are several possibilities for why that money could have been at the farm, what that money was really for. Perhaps the president is telling the truth and this was simply for Buffalo and he wasn't aware.
Yeah.
Perhaps this was something designed to entrap the president in some situation. We just don't know at this point. So without credible information or allegations of corruption involving this money, it's going to be very difficult for the police to move one way or another.
100%.
But logically, the investigation has to follow certain avenues. And if it is found that Mr. Mustafa indeed did not bring the money into the country, that maybe he was just someone who was willing and able to say that he, you know. And again, we're deep into speculative territory because it could be 100% true that Mr. Mustafa did bring that money to the farm that day and the president had no idea. But then the question becomes how much other money was there? Yeah. Where did that come from?
Yeah.
So the police have to follow this to a logical conclusion. And I believe that if they do the job 100% right, according to the law, we will see some senior people in trouble.
Right.
But I don't think the president himself.
Carl Cowan, senior investigative reporter at News24. And to read the full story, do visit news24.com. That's all we have for now. Until next time, I'm Mihlali Ntsabo.